Israeli filmmaker Nitzan Giladi is spending this semester at Emory as Emory University's filmmaker in residence. As a documentarian, he's explored conflict throughout his career between Jerusalem's gay and Orthodox community and even within his own family. He made his narrative film debut in 2015 with Wedding Doll, a story about a young woman with a mental disability working in a toilet paper factory. Emory will be screening Nitzan's films on 5 consecutive Wednesdays starting tonight, and he's here in studio with us. Welcome.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, great to have you here. I read that first you wanted to be an actor. When did you decide to become a documentarian?
Well, from a young age, my dream was to become an actor. And I moved to New York. I lived there for 6 years, and I studied theater in Circo in the Square theater school. And, you know, we studied Shakespeare and Chekhov and classical theater. And I was sure I'm going to be at least the next Robert De Niro.
Of course.
But reality was a bit different, especially because of, you know, my origin is Yemenite. And I have the look of, unfortunately, a terrorist,
looks are very, very attractive, and I would not describe you
well,
that way.
But not in the eye of the cinema directors, because all the auditions that I would be called for was to play a terrorist.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, you know, I know it's not politically correct to say it, but that's the reality. And I remember that even I was up for a role to play a terrorist in one of the HBO movies. And I remember I was like, standing at the 49th floor, and I thought, oh, I'm going to make it as, you know, playing a terrorist in America. And then they decided at the end to take someone who, an American guy who had to do an accent, and they put a wig, and he had kind of like, you know, because they were worried about my accent and the fact that I didn't have enough experience in film. So I remember I was like, okay, if I can't even do that, you know, play those parts, what am I going to do? So I had to give up on my dream to become an actor. It wasn't easy. I moved back to Israel. But at that time, I lived with one of my best friends, Mili Avital. She starred in Stargate with James Spader. And before she was discovered and got into this Hollywood big film, we kind of like played. I had my own video camera, and mm-hmm. we played as if I am the director who's making, you know, a documentary film. And then 3 years after, because she got so famous, we approached one of the TV channels in Israel, and we said, look, I have this material. Can you let me do a documentary? And I had no experience. I didn't know what's an editing room. I didn't have no clue of how you make a film. But I just, you know, it's because of my love for film and, you know, films that I watched, I kind of like gained that experience. And I was, you know, when I got to the point where I had to do it, I felt very comfortable being there.
And this is fascinating, Nitzan, yeah. Because it was through the role of actor that was so important to you, that you were acting the role of documentarian, and that's how you became a documentarian.
Absolutely. And I think that it's funny, sometimes you know, in life you think, oh, I have to do this, and you need to like wait and understand that there's a path in life that kind of like the fact that I was, you know, going through that process, that a practice of acting helped me so much in so many other things, you know, because I actually use it in everything that I do, and especially with my documentaries, because sometimes I had to disguise myself. You know, I made a film about the ultra-Orthodox Satmar community in New York, and I had to, in order to get into the community, I grew a beard and I had side locks and I walked with yarmulke and tzitzit, you know, like, yes. I had to become kind of like, you know, this religious person who kind of like walks, you know, with not a lot of a purpose in this neighborhood, with a hidden camera in order to shoot, you know, in that film. So the acting still stayed with me.
Well, maybe it all goes back to that Shakespeare and all the world's a stage. So why
absolutely.
Not? Why not take that role?
Absolutely.
There's been quite an expanse in the subjects you've treated. How do you choose, or why do you choose the stories you document?
I think it all comes from, you know, the personal point in life. I don't know how to exactly explain that, express that, but it's like you go through so many. I can give you an example for like the fact that we were Yemenites in Israel. We were kind of like the blacks of Israel. And I was very sensitive about everything that has to do about my community, just because we were a bit different, you know, or been treated differently. So all these things kind of like made me more aware about the people that kind of like are in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
A fringe. Why am I say fridge?
Well, what's wrong with me? Can be very chilling on the
yeah,
fringe,
especially now.
Yes.
So these things made me more aware of stories that needed to be voiced, stories that needed to have a light on, stories that were not necessarily commercial.
Yes.
So that's, I think, these are the things that actually moved me into, like, you know, choosing the subject that I wanted to deal with.
It's so interesting how artists who always draw from their own experiences particularly bring a perspective when they are outsiders. And yet, when that experience is expressed very well, when it's told in such a way that it can resonate with everyone, you see that your role as outsider or other really transcends whatever society had in mind for you, then, because it becomes a matter of triumph of the human spirit or success or whatever those things are that any individual who isn't an outsider can identify with.
Yeah.
In your documentary, Jerusalem is Proud to Present, it looks at the cost of throwing a pride parade in Jerusalem. In one part of the film, your car is attacked and you have to flee the neighborhood. Would you talk about the many filmmaking and personal challenges in making that documentary?
You know, it all started in such a positive way. I thought that it's going to be the most amazing event that they're going to do in Jerusalem. You know, having gay people, LGBT community coming from all over the world and celebrate humanity. And when we started the film, we couldn't even imagine that the resistance will be so extreme from the three religion representative and
all
of them, because they, you know, the first scene that I actually shot was a meeting that the three religion representative had to condemn the parade.
Hey, you found
and
one thing they can
yeah,
all agree
and,
on.
And I was like, oh my God, this is what you spend your time on and shake your hands to spend all this work to condemn the parade? Come on. You know, there's so many other, you know, important issues that you need to deal with. And it was just like, slowly, as I, you know, continued to film this documentary, I just felt like I'm entering this world of a surreal world. Like, I couldn't really believe of what the things that people would say or avoid, like what they, it was just shocking. I'm still, even, as you could see, I'm still, when I'm talking about it, I'm still, and it happened in 2007. I'm still very emotional about, you know, how, you know, the whole process that I had to go through, meeting people, like, you know, that having such a...
A common enemy in gays.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Was it scripture that they would, you know, cite? Was, because these were the major religions in Jerusalem, were they telling you or objecting on the basis of this being sacrilege?
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, it's like, unfortunately, sometimes I felt that it's all... You know, it comes from what they were taught and about the Bible, and it's like all the brainwash things that you are going through. And I think that it all, at the end, it all comes from fear. Do you know what I mean? I felt that whenever I had an encounter with the other side, in a way, I felt that there's so much fear and unknowledge about, you know, what the gay community is, the LGBT community is.
All the more important to document it.
Yes.
Before we get to your narrative film, Wedding Doll, I wanted to ask, in your documentaries, how much of a character are you? And I ask because your film... Family Time documents a road trip that you took with your family.
And that was, I don't know, sometimes when I think about it, I go like, "How? Why did I do that?" Especially when you have the film on in Israel, in the internet, you know, so everybody can see it. I think that, you know, as we talked about what are the reasons why you make, you know, your documentaries, when I got to decided to shoot Family Time, it was almost like I felt like, you know, now it's my time. I need to turn the camera into, you know, my own family and to kind of like deal with, you know, my own personal story. Because in a way, I felt like all these years when I made documentaries about other families and other, you know, the other stories, it's almost like I invaded their privacy. And now I need to pay my dues, you know, like in a way. But it's, I think, you know, in every film, even in the fiction, it's you're there. It's your personality because it's what you're interested in. And what are the stories that you want to kind of like expose? So in every aspect of all the films, I think I'm in there, you know, and especially in Family Time because I'm, you know, literally being shot and I shot myself. It wasn't an easy thing. Just imagine to have your family stuck in an RV for 7 days where you can't run away. You're in the desert on the way to the Grand Canyon dealing with a fact that, you know, my traditional father is having problems with his three sons in some way because, you know, I'm gay. My middle brother got divorced twice and my youngest brother suffers from post-trauma disorder from serving in Lebanon. So just imagine about what we talked throughout, you know, in that RV and what we had to kind of like deal with, the subject that we had to deal with, which, you know, was such an amazing trip because of the fact that we actually had finally talked about the things that were hidden under the carpet and, you know, was so important to finally be addressed and kind of like resolve between our family. And it just did amazing for all of us.
Film as therapy. We only have a minute or so left, but with Wedding Doll, your first narrative feature, it's about a young woman, Hagit, who has a mental disability, and she works in a toilet paper factory and dreams of being a wedding dress designer, already tugging at heartstrings. What was the inspiration for this story?
Well, actually, as I told you, when I moved back to, after giving up on the dream of becoming an actor, when I moved back to Israel, I was trying to do also other projects as a director. And one of the projects that I did was a street theater show where you had three women wearing a toilet paper dress that I made, searching for, walking in the streets and searching for a husband. And we took a still photo of it. And actually, the whole story of Wedding Doll, the whole script started just from this still photo. You know, I looked at it and I thought, who's gonna wear that dress? Who is that girl? Where she's gonna live and work, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how it came. And again, as I mentioned, my brother who suffers from post-trauma disorder, it has some, you know, it influenced the story. The relationship between my father and my brother is kind of like this relationship that the mother and mother-daughter at Wedding Doll, the film, is kind of like built and influenced by the personal relationship that
well,
we have.
Well, you certainly have mined your family for your art. And Nitzan Giladi, this has really been wonderful having you, on. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Nitzan Giladi is the filmmaker in residence at Emory University. His films are screening in Whitehall on five successive Wednesdays, beginning this evening at 7:30 with Wedding Doll. The filmmaker will be in attendance at all the events, and he will introduce the films as well as have a Q&A session.